listening to the Fish on Ted podcast with your host, Ted Johnson.
Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Obviously, we're recording this, and if you look at your calendar, this has to be the 8th of June of 2023. We're in the middle of some really interesting fishing seasons, and we're excited about what's coming up. There's been some challenges across the, at least the Western Seaboard where I'm at. I'm based out of Oregon, with some of the salmon runs and accessibility to fishing for salmon and some of the salmonoid species. But hey, that seems to be improving. But I know that there's a lot of striper fishing going on now on the East Coast, and good for you guys, man. Love to be over in your part of the world to do a little bit of striper fishing, and we'll be making it out there here probably later this year. So anyway, we have a really interesting guy that's joining us today. Matt Johnson of Matt Johnson Outdoors is on the line with us. And without stealing any of his thunder, I'm just going to introduce him, and he and I will start talking. Matt, you there, man?
I am. How you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
No complaints. I heard you talk about some abnormal conditions, and here in central Minnesota, it feels like spring has been for the last 2 weeks. So it's warm. It's happening.
Right. And now are you facing some of that smoke that's coming over the border from Canada, or are you too far west for that?
No, we are. We were seeing it. We're not seeing it as bad as some. I know right now the MLF is on Cayuga in upstate New York, and I was watching on the live feed yesterday, and it looked brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some days around here where it should be sunny and it's not, but it's still 85 degrees up. So, you know, it's taking effect.
Ooh, really?
It is noticeable at times. Let's just hope that gets cleared up for everyone's sake and things can get back to normal for everybody involved.
Amen. I think we're all in agreement with that. Well, Matt, thanks again for joining us, man. You know, what really intrigued me about you when I found you online was just the diversity that you have in the sports fishing arena. And it just kind of goes on and on. I mean, you are doing all sorts of things to promote the sport, and you have your own guide service and that sort of thing. But where did things start with you? I mean, was there somebody in you growing up that was a mentor to you, and you got started in the passion of fishing then? Or what's your story there?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a northern suburb of Minneapolis, the Twin Cities area of Minnesota, and we kind of grew up as a sports family. We didn't do a ton of fishing growing up. We weren't around a lake, didn't have a boat. I have an uncle, Uncle Kenny, who fished a ton and would take me with him once in a while on the boat, and those were my highlight days of the year.
Okay.
But what it came down to, and my mother, she grew up on a resort in the summertime. They had a resort in northern Minnesota. Her father fished all the time. I had never met her dad. He died when she was 17.
Oh, my.
But he was absolutely obsessed with fishing. So my mom always jokes, somehow, you know, God passed down that feeling for fishing to you through her dad.
Uh-huh.
And loved it. I would ride my bike to the local library.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rent VHS tapes. Some of our listeners probably don't even know what that is.
Probably not. You're right.
VHS tapes. In Fisherman, I could picture with my eyes closed every word of Al Linder and Doug Stange through all these In Fisherman secrets and stuff. And then when I got to high school, I started high school in 1997, at the infancy stages of the internet. We did not have a computer, but I figured out what internet was and how it worked, and I found these fishing forums.
Mm-hmm.
And oh boy, the addiction turned into a possession. It was awesome. And then it just blossomed from there. The rest was history. I started writing, started marketing it, started researching it, started doing everything I could. And then when I went to college in 2001, I had a great opportunity to get a boat on a memo.
Uh-huh.
And I decided to guide. So I said, I'm not going to work at Arby's like one of my buddies or at Kohl's department store. No disrespect or offense to anyone that does that.
Right.
But as a college student playing full-time sports, you don't have the time to make any kind of money at $7.50 an hour.
So true.
So I decided, you know, I'm going to guide a day or two a week when I can and make a few hundred dollars when I do that. And that's how I kind of made my way through college, was guiding it 2-3 days a week as a college student. And then here I am 22 years later, still doing it.
Wow. Good for you. And well, you're not only doing it, but you're doing a lot of other things in the industry. You've got your fingers in a lot of different pies out there. Tell us a little bit about your diversity, Matt, and some of the other things you're doing.
Yeah, outside of guiding, I'm guiding about 100 to 120 days a year now, open water and ice fishing.
That's full-time for most people, yeah.
It's a grind. It's a lot of Saturdays and Sundays, a lot of doubles, and I'll explain kind of why that has to happen. I have a full-time job. I took it in 2012 for Clam Outdoors. They were a sponsor of mine when I started my, what you can call, fishing career in 2001. I was on their pro staff, promotional staff, and in 2012, they offered me a job to basically manage ice team and take over the pro staff.
Uh-huh.
Well, since then, it's blossomed into 700 pros across multiple brands, some brands now including Blackfish gear and all-terrain bass jigs. So we've either created those brands like Blackfish or acquired a brand like all-terrain. And with that, we have more pro staff. So my job here is to work with guys and gals kind of like myself, all over the country and Canada, right, on promoting Clam and Blackfish and all-terrain. So that's my full-time gig. Oh, it's a labor of love. I love it. And I still, like I said, fish a ton and guide and promote. And I got a lot of personal sponsors that I love and been with for a couple decades.
Uh-huh.
So it's become a full-time lifestyle more so than a full-time job to do this fishing thing. And I've truly, Ted, love every minute of it.
You can tell it. I mean, not only through our conversation here, but you know, if you were to go to mattjohnsonoutdoors.com and take a look at your website, and, you know, I mean, you've got just this library of fishing reports and videos, and I mean, you're living exactly what you're preaching out there. And it's just absolutely amazing to me, the footprint that you have on the internet as a business guy, and it just must be treating you really, really well.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I do a weekly fishing report on my Facebook page. I started doing that a few years ago. Didn't know exactly how impactful it would be. And now I get people all the time that reference it and ask about it. It's just a simple 10-minute report every Sunday after I get off the water, kind of a state of affairs. Sometimes I have my kids on, they goof off. We have fun with it. I've learned it's a digital world we live in now.
Yes, it is.
When I started doing this, we didn't have social media. We would write, believe it or not, Ted, we would write articles.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Pen. And you didn't even have AI, did you?
No, it's like, yeah, you do all that. Nowadays, I tell these younger generation of anglers and promoters, Mom, with all the utmost respect, I say, you do not understand how easy you have it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you right now on a cell phone, where when I started, none of our phones did any of this. You have the power to be a massive promoter and marketer,
yeah,
with a cell phone.
Yep.
You can do YouTube videos. You can edit. You can do the most cutting edge photos that can. I shot a photo on my cell phone that MEPS, Mr. Twister, used for the cover of their catalog.
Wow. Really? No kidding.
It was taken on my cell phone. Never in a million years would you have thought that 5-10 years ago that a cell phone could take the quality of a cover shot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, the era we're in now, this marketing era of the digital world, and how fun it can be. So it kind of makes it easy. I'm not trying to brag. It just makes it easier for us to do these fishing reports and to be efficient on social media. Each angler in person just needs to have the mindset to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to anyone listening to this has the ability in my mind to do these things. It's just, do you want to or don't you? That's pretty simple.
Yeah, you have broken that down perfectly. That is exactly right. You have to do something. Otherwise, the internet is catching up and saying, well, you haven't posted in the last 4 weeks. Are you even in business anymore, Matt? You know, and I mean, that's actually what Google is looking at. And whether it's a website, whether it's social media, whether it's a Google My Business page, if you're not active in that, in the time frame that Google and your audience expect you to be, it can actually hurt you, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, consistency, mm-hmm, being consistent in your content, whether it's the amount you post, how you post, when you post, and consistent in your messaging and, you know, keeping your audience engaged and excitable and
yep.
letting them know what's going on and all of that stuff is, yeah, that's what drives the algorithms and drives that bus that we can never understand.
Yeah, exactly. That changes all the time, right? So tell us about your guiding business. Where, what part of the world are you in? What waters do you fish and what species of fish do you target?
Yeah, I'm in central Minnesota, namely the Twin Cities area. I kind of pride myself on anything 60 miles of Minneapolis. A lot of Lake Minnetonka, which your listeners will probably have heard of that lake. It's one of the more prestigious lakes in Minnesota. Usually makes the top 5 in Bassmaster magazine. Full of great fish. But I spend a lot of time on a lot of different lakes. We have, within an hour drive of my house, I can probably hit hundreds of different lakes. We're very blessed. Spoiled here in Minnesota with 11,000-ish lakes, thousands of which are fishable.
Right.
People call that term out all the time, 10,000 lakes. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Half of those, you're not getting a boat in.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's that many fishable lakes, but there are of that many fishable lakes, too, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So I travel all over a pretty decent radius, have a lot of repeat clients after 22 years of doing this. I really structure my guide business differently than your average guide. A lot of guides, it's all about limits and fish catches and here, let's fill the live well and make sure you have dinner. I sit down with all my clients prior to every trip and I ask them to provide me with 10 questions they want to answer.
Oh, that's and brilliant, then I man. Really?
Yeah, then I structure our 5-hour trip based off of those 10 questions so that when we're done, they have answers to their questions. It could be how to tie knots. It could be how to understand electronics, how to drop shot. I want to use plastics for bluegills through the ice instead of maggots. I'm sick of using maggots. So structure it heavily as basically a one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three seminar where when the day's done, they can go duplicate some of these things. I mean, I can put a rod in your hand and we can go to a weed line and I can put you on fish.
Right.
But if you go home and you're like, I have no stinking idea, Ted, what we just did there. I don't even know the name of the lure I fished. I'm not really helping that person. We've turned into an information and knowledge driven world, this fishing community.
True.
So let's get, you know, most guys that book me are not on a vacation. We don't live in tourist country or region. They're there to learn. So I target everything from bass to panfish to walleyes. I guide for catfish through the ice, which I'm one of the few people that do that.
Really? No kidding.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it just really depends on what people want to do. If they want to try something new, if they want to hone in a skill, I'm just kind of all ears. And my favorite thing to do in this industry by far is the educational side of the sport. 100%, that's my favorite part of fishing and promotions is educating people and taking them to bites or styles of fishing that they can then duplicate through what we teach them and show them.
Right, right. That is brilliant, man. So you tailor the trip based on what the client or the customer, whatever you call them, is really looking to gain from you. And you're exactly right. You know, bringing people on a guided trip can be a tremendous educational process. And a lot of guides, and I'm not picking on anybody, you know, they like to keep everything secret, you know, and they're not sharing what they're doing. And you're right. People go back and they're confused. And, you know, the thought process is they'll come back again and they'll fish with me and I'll be the person that they go to come and fish. And they probably will, but people tend to be more curious than that. And by tailoring it to each trip that you take people out, I mean, holy smokes, that's amazing, man. That's great.
I mean, I'd rather have a client book me again, not because they want to do what we did last time and they had fun. I want a client to book me again because they've already checked something off their list they wanted to learn the last time we went, and they want to now learn something. Like, to me, that's more important. And I share information probably to a fault. I've been accused of that many, many, many times. I don't blur out the background of my photos on the internet.
That happens a lot.
I've been burned by it many, many, many times.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how I'm wired. I mean, I've had many guide trips, Ted, where I pull the nose of my boat onto the bank. I drop the talons and we don't move for the next 3 hours. And there's not even a rod in a hand. We're going over lake maps. We're going over how to rig a drop shot. We're going over various crankbaits and why you would fish them when. And I got clients that are sitting down with notepads or recording our conversations. And to me, that's way more fun, honestly, as you know, hard to believe as it sounds, than catching fish at times. It's, I need people the tools and the know-how to hone in their skills. Everyone that books a guide trip, unless you're on vacation, you just want to go walleye fishing and eat a dinner. But the guys that book me, they're invested in the sport. Right. You know, they're not booking me if they want to catch 20 bluegills and go have dinner that night. They're probably capable of doing that already on their own.
True.
They're booking me because they want to either see an outside viewpoint on something, maybe from a different scope, understand a technique they never thought they would understand, you know, and then also people want to fish with like-minded individuals. So I get a lot of clients, repeat clients that are similar to me in how we think and how we fish. And they just want to continue to feed off each other on how we do things to make their skill set better in that regard too. So that's, if I get a client that calls me, Ted, honestly, and says, "Hey man, I'd like to book you. I'd like to get on the limit of walleyes. You know, can you set me up? I want to just crush walleyes." It's not uncommon. I might pass that person on.
Interesting.
You know, I might say, you know what? I'm busy. Appreciate it. I got another buddy, because I've learned that just tends to not be the client that I really gravitate towards. The guy that just wants to fill the live well, put me in a pile of fish where I can have dinner. You know, that's just, you know, maybe great for somebody that goes to northern Minnesota to one of the walleye lakes. And like I said, they're on vacation and a fish fry is pertinent to their trip. For me, you can certainly keep fish. I'm not saying you can't. I have lots of clients that keep some fish they catch. You know, but I just want that mindset that, are you hungry? You want to learn? You want to know more? You want to be better at this? I've had a lot more success with those clients holistically than the guy or gal that just wants to fill the live well and take home all the fish they can.
Yeah, good point. You know, and we have a mix, of course, on our podcast of people in the sports fishing industry and then the sportsmen themselves. And what you're explaining here relates to both sides, because if you are someone that is wanting to go fish with a guide and is looking for an educational experience, you need to let the guide know that, don't you? I mean, it set the expectations up front, because you may be booking with somebody that you have different expectations for, and it might not be the right fit.
You're spot on. I mean, it's, you know, I think communication is key. A lot of guides, you know, are timid. I'll be honest. Like a lot of my buddies that guide, I'd say 50-50 are good communicators, like you alluded to a bit ago, or they're really not. They're just really good anglers and they know how to catch fish, you know? And so I think especially as a paying customer, you know, using the term loosely, because I think they're hungry, right? They're hungry for information.
Yep.
Tell your guide what you want. I mean, I've had some clients come to me and be like, "I had a bad experience with a fishing guide."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, why was it a bad experience? Well, the guy didn't say much. He kind of sat in the front, ran the boat, did a little fish on his own. I'm like, "Well, did you catch a bunch of fish?" He's like, "Yeah, we caught a bunch of fish, but I didn't learn anything."
Right.
I'm like, "Well, you know, how did the conversation go? Did you let them know you wanted to learn some stuff? Did you ask some questions?" And you always get that lukewarm response. Well, it was kind of, you know, didn't know how much he wanted to talk. I didn't know really what to say. And it's like, you know, well, just poke. I mean, I don't know a single guy that if you ask them a question is not going to give you a pretty solid answer.
That's true.
You know, it's just some guides are just not the best at communicating. Just like everyone's got their strengths and their weaknesses.
Uh-huh.
But you kind of nailed it. Like, you know, show up. You know, take my mentality, for example, and if somebody books a guide on the Pacific Northwest for salmon, show up with three questions on your phone you want answered, and that guide might light up and go, "Sweet, yeah, let me show you how to do that, how to think this way." And there's nothing wrong with that. And most guides in this industry would happily accept that.
Yep.
It's just some guides go into it with a different mindset, and that's okay too. So, but yeah, you give some good advice on preparing yourself for a trip, having some things you want to accomplish, and you'll get the most out of it.
Oh, absolutely. So tell us about your fishery a little bit more. What are the challenges where you're fishing now? You know, are the species in your area, are they flourishing? Or you know, I don't know much about the area in which you fish and where you're based out of, but it sounds like things are really going well for you up there.
Yeah, we have a great fishery here in central Minnesota. Like I was saying, we're so spoiled. let's talk, I mean, from a bass fishing perspective.
Yeah.
You know, everyone talks about the South, whether it's Texas, that stretch to Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, or Florida or California, right, for bass fishing, because you hear about these giant fish that are caught, 10-pounders, 12-pounders, 8-pounders, right?
Right.
And we don't have those here. The state record in Minnesota is 8 pounds, 15 ounces.
Uh-huh.
But what we do have here that no one else has in the country other than maybe Wisconsin and some other fringe area lakes and states is the opportunity to catch quantity of quality fish. I've had anglers from all over the country come up here from Tennessee, North Carolina, Arizona, Alabama, Arkansas, you name bass, you know, heavens, and go, holy cow, you guys don't know how good you have it here in Minnesota. I mean, we caught 50 bass today, they'll say. I'm like, well, yeah, well, you know, you live in central Tennessee. You have some of the best bass lakes within 2 hours. He goes, yeah, but there's not many. So there's 500 people trying to fish on those lakes. If we catch 5 fish a day, we're doing good. He's like, if you watch Bassmaster on television, you're only seeing the fish that are caught. We're not off camera catching 20 fish.
Right, right.
But in Minnesota, it's not uncommon in 5 hours of fishing to catch 20, 30, 40, 50 bass.
Wow.
And some 3-pounders and some 4-pounders. So our fishing here is very strong. And there's a lot of bass, a lot of bass around, a lot of panfish, crappies, bluegills, a lot of northern pike, some decent walleye fishing. If you go 2 hours north of me, the walleye fishing gets much better. But there's a large scope of species, healthy systems. Our Minnesota DNR does a phenomenal job putting in good boat ramps and fishing piers and keeping things going. We're very blessed here to have the fishing ability where if you wanted to, Ted, you and I this summer could hang out every single day and not even reach hitting all the quality lakes in our area.
Really? Wow.
If we did a new lake every day for 200 days straight, we would touch a fraction of them and call it a two-hour radius. So we're pretty fortunate.
That's incredible. That is incredible. So in regards to how you set up your schedule and what you fish for, Matt, are there different seasons that you have for different species, or you kind of mix and match that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of seasons here and regulations and structure in Minnesota, and I say that with all due respect, but we do. We have a lot. I wish it would loosen up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, some of our surrounding states are starting to adapt, you know, year-round catch and release seasons where we actually have quite a few closed seasons. There's a lot of species through large periods of time in Minnesota you just can't even target, like, you know, bass fishing. You can't target a bass from end of February until second weekend in May. It's illegal to even target them. Same thing with walleye, northern pike, muskies. You can't target until June. I understand all the reasonings for it, but we have seasons and there are reasons they do that. And I respect it and, you know, I have their backs. But I mean, yeah, like in the springtime, for example, I'll do a fiscal from, let's call it April 1st to April 1st, open water start. I'll start the season targeting crappies because we can target them. They're plentiful. They're fun to catch. Crappies, bluegills, they're great to eat. We get our Minnesota fishing opener the second week of May. And then I usually switch gears to bass, pike, walleye. The bass fishing's catch and release until Memorial weekend, but we can target them at that point.
Right.
But I'll get some clients that want to catch walleyes, northern pike, or have some fun. And then from there through the entire summer open water season, I'm targeting anything that swims, a lot of bass fishing, some pan fishing, a lot of pike, some accidental walleyes and muskies. And then you look at the ice fishing season, I shift gears to predominantly panfish and channel catfish.
And channel catfish, really?
Channel catfish are a blast. We don't have a lot of great walleye fishing through the ice where I guide. In my region, you can catch some, but some is a few. I'm not going to take your money knowing we're hoping to catch a few. I just don't operate that way. So we turn to the bluegills and crappies where we can catch 100 of them. And then we turn to channel catfish where you can catch a dozen of them, but it's an experience that 99.9% of ice anglers just have never experienced.
Right.
I've been guiding channel cats for 22 years. They fight hard. They can be plentiful. And I'll tell you what, if you ask me what's your favorite fish to eat, freshwater, it's a channel catfish during the wintertime.
Oh,
In the summertime, I can take it or leave it. They have a little muddy taste to them. But in the winter, clean water, I'll take a nice 2 to 4 pound channel cat over the most pristine walleye fillet I've ever put in your face.
Really? Wow.
So we got a cornucopia of things to target. It's a lot of fun. It keeps us on our toes. And again, I revert back to the people that want to come fishing. What do you want to do? What do you want to try? How do you want to fish? How do you want to hone your skills? And boom, we have the opportunities to do it.
Wow, that's amazing, man. So just going down another trail with you here, Matt, we've got a lot of our listeners that are involved in the sports fishing business, whether they're guides or charter captains, lodge owners, the like. And a lot of conversations that I get into people in this industry is, you know, how do you set up your pro staff arrangements with people? And there's a kind of a misnomer, and I think it's kind of global on this, is that pro doesn't necessarily stand for professional, does it? It's promotional. And, 100%. You know, you're promoting a certain brand, but then the onus goes on to the brand that they're also going to be promoting you. It's symbiotic that way. Am I correct in thinking that?
Absolutely. And that's where I think there's a regime that was trained that promotional pro means professional.
Right.
So, I mean, there was a period of time, a long period of time, where that was kind of how it was viewed. Brands nowadays have seen, I think it's the digital era, the way we promote, how we market, and so much online business and all that, and the way our fan, our consumer is getting their information is now forcing us to be promotional figures. Your ability to catch fish has some clout. Don't get me wrong. It's important.
Sure.
But your ability to communicate and promote and effectively reach the masses in what we call impressions, in my opinion, has become more important. Now, we don't want anglers that are fake. We don't want people that don't do it.
Right.
You don't want people that are, you know, hiding behind cell phones and computers because they have time. Mm-hmm. So we're still strategic on how we pick people. You got to have a strong fishing background. You got to know how to do the sport.
True.
You know, so that is definitely a prerequisite. You know, but we also look at their ability to communicate. Like, how good are you on social media? Do you even use social media? Are you out there in the field? What's your circle of influence? Are you doing seminars? Are you a fishing guide? Do you have a radio program? Do you do a podcast? So there's a lot more questions we ask now, and none of those are contingent on getting the job or the spot.
Right.
But there are things that can help. I get about 3,800 inquiries a year to join our pro staffs.
Wow, no kidding.
Upwards of almost 4,000 that come into our camp. So you have to have the ability to weed through some of this stuff with the utmost respect. And the cream rises to the top, right? So that's where some of these other questions that I've just was talking about matter. So if I have a handful of guys that love to fish and even do well in tournaments, but one of them is fluent on YouTube and social media and has a good following base, I can tell you right now, Ted, that person's going to go to the top of the list.
Sure they are.
So those are things that I think our listeners should really gravitate towards, is really focus on the promotional side of it. Basically, if you want to be a promotional figure, a pro staff member for, call it Clam Outdoors, how can you generate impressions for Clam? Mm-hmm. How, if you came to me with a rap sheet and said, here's what I can do. I can bring you 500,000 impressions over the next 12 months. And this is how. Those are the conversations I'm more apt to listen to than the guy that goes, oh, will you sponsor me? I fish a couple tournaments a year. I love to fish.
Right.
Well, love the fact that you reached out, but you're one of 100,000 people that can say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, it's about the name on the front, not the name at the back. And I think young anglers really need to gravitate towards that and understand how they can help these brands. And that sometimes it's not enough to just say you fish and fish tournaments, or enough that you say, I have a Facebook page, but how are you going to help these brands succeed through your efforts?
Right, right. Exactly. And it's a changed world, is it not? I mean, good Lord, I've got a few years on you, and I remember doing sportsman shows back in the 80s and early 90s. And that was about the only, you know, outreach that you would need to do in the industry is just go place a booth somewhere, by a 10x10 booth with a couple of tables and a nice banner behind you, and, you know, talk to people as they walk by. And that has changed a lot, has it not?
It absolutely has. I remember those days too, where your clout for your sponsor was showing up to the local fishing show and working the booth for 3 days and trying to make an impact. And then that was everything. Now, some of our big name pros, we don't even need them in the booth for other than some small appearances and meet and greets, because we realize some days I'd rather have them out in the field doing what they do best than standing at a sports show. I mean, but there's a compromise. I mean, there are times, yes, you got to have your A-list guys and gals at certain shows, whether it's the big dance in every state, everyone's got their big ice fishing or fishing show, events like ICAST.
Right.
So there's some things where, you want to put your best foot forward with, call it your celebrity style pros. But yeah, you nailed it, man. There are YouTube influencers that haven't even remotely cut their teeth in the industry that have 10 times the value for companies than 30-year season vets. And I say that it's kind of sad, because some of these 30-year vets that have been doing this for 30 years walk the walk, talk the talk, blood, sweat, tears, did all this stuff, are being passed up by guys and gals that are 2 years in the business because of their TikTok following.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad, but I get it, you know, and I think that older regime struggles with it and it frustrates them. And they're like, hey, I've been a fishing pro for 30 years. I mean, I've cut my teeth. I have weathered the storm. I have won battles and wars. And now this 24-year-old kid with a YouTube page is getting all the attention. Like, what gives? Well, that's the world we live in now, unfortunately.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
You know, there is not a week that goes by where I don't have a conversation with a guide or a charter captain that goes right along with what you're saying. They'll come and they'll say, Ted, you know, I've been doing this for 30, 35 years. You know, I used to pack my boat full and I could, you know, book any season I wanted. And now I'm struggling. And the guys that are getting all the business, you know, if I do a search on Google, or if I do a search on and Google my business, you know, I'm not even showing there anymore. And these new guys are, you know, and why am I not getting the attention I once was? And you dig into this for a little bit and call them back and they go, well, you know, Charlie, I'm not picking on anybody in particular here, but Charlie, you know, you haven't made a Facebook post in 2 years and nobody's given you a review in the last 14 months. The internet is questioning if you're even out there. Why would they want to promote somebody and have somebody click through to a business that isn't active? And they're afraid of that. And you've got to have this mindset. If you're going to compete in this world of the internet, you've got to be active on it. And I get back to you. I mean, I'm just absolutely in awe at all the things that you do to promote your business. And there's no wonder that you're so successful at doing this.
Yeah, it's like I said earlier, it's a labor of love. And, you know, do I want to do a fishing report when I get off the water on a Sunday afternoon and my kids are standing there looking at me? No, but it's necessary. And I also am a realist and I go, it's 10 minutes out of my day.
Right.
I have a tripod that sits in the backseat of my truck. I set my phone on it. I'm not setting up camera equipment. I'm not doing all this. I set my phone on it.
Amen.
I bring the tripod into the garage or onto the deck of my boat. I push a little red button. I get in front of the camera. I literally wing it for 10 minutes or so on what's going on and how the week went. And I push stop. And then usually at some point that later that day when I come and decompress and get out of the sun or whatever, I throw it up on social media, and then throughout the evening, as time allows, in between dinner, this or that, in between playing with kids, I make sure I just infiltrate all my different channels with it. And sometimes it takes me 6-7 hours to get all that done. Mm-hmm. That's not how long it takes me to do it. It's just I got other priorities at that time.
That's right.
But because it's all stored on my phone, it's all super efficient content. If I got 20 minutes to kill because we just ate dinner and I'm putting my feet up, boom, let's get this up on Instagram. Let's get it up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 hours later. My kids are in bed. I'm watching TV with my wife. We're laughing. Boom, I'll upload this to TikTok.
Yep.
Boom, that's 5 minutes of work. So it's not a lot of work. It's just got to have the drive, got to have the motivation, got to have a little bit of self-control and realize some of this is important.
Mm-hmm.
And does pay off in dividends you know, because I can tell you I'm as busy as the next guy. It's 100% not intended to be boastful. Four kids, wife, lots going on. I can find a way to get it done. And I know a lot of people out there that have much more lax lifestyles than mine that make excuses as to why they don't get it done.
Yep.
So that's the kind of how I was born and raised. That's how my dad did it. That's how my coaches in high school and college did it, was you put forth the effort. Mm-hmm. You can't teach effort. Just do it. Good things will come.
Right. Exactly. And I use an analogy of growing a plant or being a farmer. You can't go out and plant some seeds and put some water on it, and then the next morning go out and go, well, this thing isn't growing. Well, you only did it yesterday. You got to keep watering this thing, you know, and it will come. You know, what's that old saying? You know, build it and they shall come. It is exactly right. Yeah.
Field of dreams.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Matt, I want to thank you, man. This has just been overwhelming, the amount of information that you're giving us, and I'm excited to have you back as a guest if you would like to be in the future, just to sort of catch up a little bit. You know, we end our podcast with people that guide and run charters typically with one more question, and I've got a question for you, and I want you to think about it and then give it your best answer. You know, those vivid dreams you get every once in a while, you go to bed and you wake up and you go, oh my God, that was the craziest dream I've ever had. And it just sticks in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And tonight you go to bed and you have one of those dreams. And you wake up tomorrow morning and you've been kind of told in this dream that tomorrow is your last fishing trip. Last fishing trip on this world, in this world anyway. And so the question is, if you know you had one last fishing trip in you, where would you fish? What would you fish for? And who would you take fishing with you?
Sure. I'd probably go to our cabin in Wisconsin, and I would want to be with my family. My kids love to fish. My wife loves to fish.
Uh-huh.
And we'd probably go bass fishing because it's plentiful, and we'd see the rods bend a bit. And I think that would probably be the way to go, just because catch fish, you see people happy, you're with people you know and love, you're in a body of water you care about.
Yep.
There's quantity, possibly quantity, possibly quality.
Uh-huh.
And that would be the idea.
Awesome, man.
And I spend a lot of time with the net in my hand versus a rod.
Yeah, exactly. It's more fun sometimes to do that, is it not?
Yep.
You know, just watching the kids smile and scream you're running the net, and there's no better feeling, man. Absolutely no better feeling. Matt, so tell us how people can get a hold of you in the different venues that you kind of represent, and whether it's by email, by phone, how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way is probably just to search Matt Johnson Outdoors on any social media platform. I play on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You can hit me up on any of those channels. They can go to mattjohnsonoutdoors.com. That's my website. I don't update the website as much, so I got to drink my own Kool-Aid on some of that. I don't do it a ton. That would be the easiest ways to reach out to me. And then if you're at any kind of sports show, I'm not quite out in your region much, but I work the booth for Clam Outdoors and Ice Team and Blackfish Gear at all the majors across the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
I'll be at Cast in Orlando in July for a handful of days. We'll have a booth down there.
Great.
Love talking fishing, love hanging out. So if anyone sees me at any of the all or the above, come say hi.
Man, that sounds great. That sounds great. Matt, again, thank you, man, for taking time out of your day. Obviously, you're a really busy guy, so we just feel blessed that you spent a little bit of time with us today, and I'm sure that you've touched a lot of people's lives, not only by what you do, but through our podcast also, and people will take things to heart. And you've made a difference, man, and we thank you for
that. Thanks, man.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, hey, tight lines to you. Looking forward to catching up with you as time goes on.
You got it, man.
Okay, take care, Matt.